What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is a show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful at those things. And I'm sure we're going to talk about some real estate stuff, too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough. We can go through some stuff and struggle at times. This is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you. So it's a Thursday episode. That means we've got a guest in studio. Before I introduce him, I do have some housekeeping. Want to make a shout out to NeuroGum, Kent. We brought it up on the show the other day, and you know, Murphy made a reel out of it. We posted it. The guys at NeuroGum saw it, and they ended up. I had a call with the CEO, Kent. Great guy, MMA guy. Judo guy. He said he fought in Thailand for a number of years. Really, really interesting guy. Got to know him a little bit. He ended up selling us a box full of the product, and I'm pumped because I legitimately use this stuff all the time, and he sent us a bunch of free stuff. So really, really happy about that. Shout out to him. If you guys have any questions about the product, reach out to any of us. We're happy to, you know, let you guys know all about it. And
Plenty of samples for people to try.
Yeah, yeah. If anybody wants to try some, hit us up. I'll get you a pack of it.
And it hits all the people. If you're vegan, we got you. Gluten free, we got you. Aspartame free, duh. Sugar free, oh yeah.
Neuro yeah, gum. It's got 40 milligrams of caffeine per piece, L-theanine, and B vitamins. So those are, you know, nootropics to make your brain work better.
Especially if you're someone who is like us, who uses a hefty amount of caffeine, and especially if it's getting towards like the later part of the day, mm-hmm. You don't need a cup of coffee. You don't need to reach for an energy drink. If you can have something that's 40 milligrams or less of caffeine, you know, the next 5 to 7 hours, that's going to work its way out of your system pretty well.
It's a little pick me up in the afternoon is where I've been using it.
Maybe you're out of pre-workout.
I chewed a piece right before CrossFit today.
How'd that go?
I love it. I do it before do jiu-jitsu. I've been chewing it literally all the time. So
how does that compare to a cup of coffee? 40 milligrams.
I think a cup of coffee has about 100.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, you know, like half a cup of coffee or so, you know, a little less than half.
Lovely.
So yeah, it's a nice little
bump.
Little bump. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah.
A legal bump.
Yeah. Legal
one. Hey-o.
Hey-o. And
what's that?
Yeah. Right.
Well, there's this stuff.
Yeah.
It's like sugar, and it smells like gasoline.
we also are we're doing the book club again this month. I know last month's book was kind of a dud. We didn't really like that one as much. But this one I know for sure I really like because I've read it before. It's Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, an absolute classic. It's been a number of years since I've read it, and I'm reading it, going through it again right now, and I'm really, really enjoying it, getting a lot out of it. So. You know, get the book, read it with us. We're going to do a podcast on the book at the end of March. The full audiobook is also on Spotify, YouTube. So, get out there, consume that good content. Like I said, it's Thursday. So we have a guest in studio. He is a father, an athlete, a musician, a business coach, the great and powerful Anthony Merkel.
Thanks for joining us.
Great and powerful.
Yes.
Yeah, dude.
Hell,
you're my business coach. You've helped me come a long way.
I love it.
Yeah. So this guy, he is Pat's business coach. So,
yes.
Yeah. How long have you guys been working together?
5 years.
Yeah.
It was
18 or 19 is when we started.
Yeah. I had someone before. She left. Anthony was the first person that I talked to at Southwest and got me into coaching. And when my original coach left after like 6 months, he jumped in and
let's work together.
Yeah.
Good fit.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the thing. I think we played hockey against each other growing up a little bit.
Yeah.
I think we kind of mixed in there towards
you fit the profile of the Oakville kid.
Yes.
Holy shit. Those guys are big.
Yeah.
Golly. Yes.
So yeah.
And where'd you go?
I was at Hazelwood Central.
Okay.
North County boys.
Yes. Yes.
So, yeah, and then just connected, and we've just been rolling with it since, and he's helped me. I mean, he's the ultimate accountability partner and is giving me things to think about that I haven't thought about, and just, I mean, awesome. If you're looking for a coach, try Southwestern Consulting, Anthony Merkel.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, yes. I mean, I've had a coach my entire real estate career, and it's been, I mean, huge. I mean, it's my first recommendation to anybody getting into the real estate industry specifically, just because that's what I know. But like, especially if you're not joining a team, like I didn't join a team. I kind of started out on my own. And if you need that person to kind of guide you, hold you accountable, because it's so easy in this industry to just slack off and not really want to do. I mean, because
there's a million things to do.
100%. You don't know what the right things are. Right. So having someone guide you and hold you accountable, like, hey man, you said that you were going to do this, and you know, we talked about this, and next week on our call, you didn't do any of it. Where are we at here? And right. It's been a huge asset to me. I don't think I'd be where I'm at without the coach I've had. So
love it.
Well, and it also helps too, because he's an athlete, like you mentioned, that we can bond back and forth over and like use like similes and metaphors of sports, especially baseball.
Yeah.
Right.
So he's just like, what was the one we were talking about? Slider versus, or like a curveball or something. Like, hey, you know, you're sitting there fastball, 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 and then all of a sudden you get a curveball. What do you do? Got to adjust. And right. So like stuff like that. So it's, that helps too.
Yeah, for sure.
But, tell us a little bit about yourself, about Southwestern Consulting. Tell us about you.
Well, my first profession is, I had three COVID babies.
Okay.
That's exciting. Yes. I have a four-year-old, a three-year-old boy, and we were blessed with a little girl. So she's just a fresh 1 year old. She's chirping and running all over the place. So that is my first, profession, occupation at the time. And, professionally, I've been with this company for 21 years. Wow. And, it is the only job I've had since college.
Wow.
For 12 of it with one part of it. And then the last 8 years, in the consulting coaching, part of the business. And, I'm a partner with the firm. There's 180 or so coaches, and I'm one of the, 15 partners. And so outside of coaching and selling coaching and building a consulting business, I also recruit, hire, train other people that are building a coaching business. And if there's a thing that separates us from a lot of, you know, coaches are great in accountability across the board. I know there's a lot of different kinds of coaches. We pride ourselves on being practitioners. And so we only hire people to be coaches with us that have a resume, a depth of not like, we want 10 years of being a high producing salesperson. Mm-hmm. and salesperson, recruiter, lead, whatever it is. Right. But somebody who's directly involved in production, in their business. We don't want to be an academic coaching company. We don't want to be, hey, I read this book and I got certified in something and now I'm a coach. We want to be people that, you know, kind of like in your world with jiu-jitsu, right?
Yeah.
How much are you going to take advice or even accountability or even, hey, I'm seeing this from somebody who has read books on it?
It's a meritocracy based on experience and results. 100%.
Yeah, you're not. It's if someone told me they read a book on jiu-jitsu, it means absolutely nothing to me.
I'm still going to choke.
I've watched UFC once.
Yeah, that's cute.
I can tell you Conor McGregor's record.
Right. Well, it's one thing that most men specifically are very delusional about their ability, you know, and I see that a lot because I teach the beginner's class at the gym that I coach at or that I train at. So I see people on their first days, and you get a lot of guys that come in and like think that they're like the big tough guy, and they're like, oh, this stuff's not going to work on me. Mm-hmm. And then like you get like a smaller guy like me that can, you know, put them in their place, and then they realize pretty quickly like, oh, there is something to this. Like you can't just be big and strong. Mm-hmm. I mean, it helps.
Momentum is a thing
for sure. 100% momentum, technique, and so it's been a really interesting journey there. Like kind of like learning. I mean, not only about myself, but like learning, because that's one thing I was thinking about last night when I was coaching. I was like, man, everybody's starting point we all don't have the same starting point. That is for sure. Like I had 10 people in my class last night, and three of the 10 of them were first days. So it's like, and I saw like a varying difference of like ability. Like I had these two guys that, I mean, one guy, I mean, no offense to him, he doesn't look like he's done much of anything athletic in his entire life. And you can tell. And then you have this other guy that yes, it was his first day in jiu-jitsu, but he wrestled in high school,
right,
in shape, you know, and like there was like, okay, well, he's, there's just each, you're reminded of that everybody has very, very different starting points, no matter what it is. And that, that other guy that he has, he could definitely get very good at this if he sticks with it, but it's just, it's a longer road. You know, mm-hmm. he's got a, and I mean, you could put that into anything in life, no matter if it's business or if it's fitness or whatever it is. Like, we all have different starting points. Like, I mean, I had a great, you know, upbringing with a great family and everything. And, you know, I mean, I was very fortunate there. So like, my starting point's different from someone that grew up in a rough part of town that, you know, had a absent parents in their life and, you know, went to had a horrible experience in school and got bullied and did all these things. Like, I didn't experience that. So it just reminds me all the time that, like, okay, everybody's very different. And
Well, that's the thing too, is like, I just posted about this the other day. Like, the highest honor or to be given is being called coach. Like, if you think about it, like even the president of the United States, like, think about it. If your coach from jiu-jitsu or whoever became the president of the United States, what would you call him? You call him Mr. Coach. President, or you call him coach?
Coach.
Exactly. 100%. Yeah. Coach is the highest honor that you could potentially bestow upon somebody.
The last freeze that we had, may I interrupt, Pat?
Yeah, go for it.
I jump in.
Absolutely.
Yeah, please do.
Big freeze. I think I invited you out to a pond hockey.
Yeah.
We were up in St. Paul, and there's, I don't know, 30 of us, 40, 35 to 45 year old North County kids, right? Kids.
Yeah.
We're out there on the pond having a great time. And our coach, most of us played for him at some point. Dan Herr, he was recently elected into or brought into whatever, however they choose it, into the St. Louis Hockey Hall of Fame, whatever it is. And he was there. I saw him. I was like, man, that's really cool. Like, our coach, for all of us, and we all went to different schools and different levels, like, played for him. And that's how we refer to him still.
Yeah.
I'm a 43 year old. I'm a grown ass man.
Right.
I'm older than he was when he was my coach. And that's still what you refer to him. Right. And how many relationships do you have in your life where
that's,
you're right, the title that they have is going to remain forever.
Right.
Yeah. That was neat to see. And it was a cool thing. We all stopped and like, holy shit.
Yeah.
You've been all of our coach here.
Yeah.
Anyway. That's cool. I have a similar thing with my wrestling coach. He's actually like a full-time real estate investor now, or I think he's got like a roofing company, and he was a teacher at the school at the time, but now he's got like a roofing company and flips houses on the side. And so, you know, we're always going back and forth on Facebook and stuff. And you know, I still call him coach. I don't call him Scott, you know, mm-hmm. It's just like, it's so funny like that. He's always going to be coach no matter what.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Cool.
So you came right out of college into Southwestern Consulting.
Yeah. I actually started in college.
Started while you were in college.
Yes.
Okay. And where'd you go?
I went to the University of Missouri.
Cool.
Yes, I got
KU
it.
KU is off top.
Yeah. No, we're not talking about KU sports.
Did you put that on the floor?
Yeah. What do you not want to talk about? KU, and now we're talking about it.
Yeah.
A self-fulfilling prophecy.
Chicago sports, and
I will leave that one.
Love that.
Yeah. There we go. do you want me to dive into this big old, like, this was me starting with Southwestern.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
Was not just like a life altering, but probably, I call it a life create. It created so much of an overwhelming majority of everything that I do and talk about and how I think and the relationships that I have from this. You know, the first time I heard about it was just, oh, come check out this little internship, mm-hmm. little sales show or whatever. When I was at Mizzou, I was playing, college inline hockey for Mizzou, and, I was in the fraternity, right? I was doing, and I'm 22. I'm preparing for my victory lap at the University of Missouri, my fifth year.
Hell yeah.
And, you know, school was always easy. And when I got to college and just being in school, you know, it did fine enough. But the longer I was there, the people that I saw graduate, I did not see a direct correlation between those kids that were getting like 3.2, 3.5, 3.7 and like that much better, different jobs guys that were getting 2.8s, 2.6s. And with my screaming in demand psychology degree,
I got one of those too.
Yeah. At the, you know, at the University of Missouri, I knew that I didn't know anything. That's probably the biggest thing that's working with Southwestern has did teach me is that, and what I know now is I didn't know shit back then, which probably is the same for most like 18, 19, 22 year olds, right?
Sure. What have you done?
Right. Exactly. But, and yet we're fed all this stuff about what it takes to be successful and what's going to matter after you graduate. And like most of us find that most of that is not, not as heavily weighted as we are told when we were in high school and all this stuff. Right. So, what I did see is people that got jobs knew somebody and were likable and all this. Right. So I put so much weight in knowing a lot of people and building relationships and all that stuff. I got hired. I heard about this internship and it was a direct sales, you know, kind of had a little bit of an MLM feel. So the first time I heard about it, I was like, oh, I've heard about some of these. Sure. I've checked some of these out. I paid my $75 to that to sell this or whatever it is when I'm in. There were some differences to this. This company had been around for 160 years when I first heard about it. It was the oldest. It's the oldest, still the oldest direct sales company in the U.S., right?
It was selling books too, right?
Yes. Before? Yeah. Well, that's what
it still does.
Still is. Yeah.
I think they own some of those books.
For the first 100 years, they sold Bibles door to door. And they started out after the Civil War recruiting college students to sell Bibles door to door. And it turned into this worldwide, like there's kids from, I don't know, 20, 30 different countries that come here. And during their college summers, they do this internship where they sell educational books and software
for kids.
For kids, like high school down,
yeah,
right.
So still,
they still do this.
I just bought from them in 2022 a whole set of stuff for the kids, and it was some kid from
where in the Eastern European bloc,
yeah,
right,
somewhere in the EU from Europe.
Got it.
Yeah. So,
yeah, cool.
And he was very good at sales.
He taught him well.
They taught him well, and he did well. And I mean, I was like, I need to buy books anyway for these kids. They're running out. Like, they
got to learn.
They're outgrowing the little tiny Tyke books.
Yeah,
But so these are a lot more advanced, and it goes by grades and things like that. Yeah,
very cool.
We work with a lot of Estonian. There's a small country in Eastern Europe. Estonia, for whatever reason, we have this large group of you know, hundreds of Estonian little blonde 6 foot tall college students, right, that come over here during the summer. And it's actually become like this hold in their country of like business professionals. And if you just look at like all these great companies that they all did this. Oh yeah. I went to the United States and I knocked on doors. I sold books with Southwestern during my summers, you know? and it's strange to the point where they are the best in our business now. Like they come here and they outsell our American kids. And there's over 1,000 US students that do this every summer.
Yeah.
And then there's another close to about 1,000 students from all over Europe and other countries too, that come here and do this. I want to say that we're still like, Forbes puts us at 3, number 1, number 4, number 2 of the best business internships that are out there. So anyway, this company's been around for a long time. And so that set it apart, the fact that I didn't have to do this at home, like my first summer, I was like, oh, I'm selling to people and this company isn't telling me to sell to my friends and family. Okay.
Yep.
So I can have a little bit of freedom to swing here and I don't have to feel weird. Right. Yep.
So much easier to sell shit to people you don't
100%.
Know.
Well, and you can trust your swing. You don't have to be afraid.
Right. You're not scared of fucking up.
The shit I'm going to do during the summer if I don't have. Right. So my first summer, they said, you're going to go live with this other person that you've never met before from Mizzou. There's like 60 kids from Mizzou that summer. It was 2003. And Bennington, Vermont was me and Alberto Barba. He actually is a very successful LO with VU in Columbia. You guys, you're going to be roommates. You're going to live in Bennington, Vermont, which is the ski community in Southwest where Vermont, New York, and Massachusetts all connect, just east of Albany, about 2 hours east. And you get assigned this conglomerate of school districts that are all right next to each other. And my job is to go knock on all the doors of families that have kids, high school down to toddlers, right?
Okay.
And you go through a week-long, like, intensive boot camp in Nashville scripts where the company is, oh, man, probably did my full presentation. I'm not kidding, 150, 200 times just that week before we go out to the turf, right? And not just like, hey, what do I say about the books? Like, that's, you'll figure that out along the way. Like, we have the script for that. But how do you answer objections? How do you ask questions? How do you get somebody, you knock on their door, to actually look at you and listen to you? Like, how are you doing today? I work with this company, all that shit put to rest, like how to ask a question and make eye contact. And even like standing side proof. It's funny when you knocked on your door downstairs, like, man, cause you don't knock on a whole lot of doors.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. You call.
I just took three steps back, turned sideways.
I noticed that. Yeah. I noticed that. I was like, huh.
Old habits.
I was like, why is this guy staying? He's over there. I like, hope the dog's not bothering him. Or, you know, right. The dog's inside, but yeah.
Well, you think answers the door most of the time at 2 PM on a Wednesday? It's mom, right?
Sure. You want to be not threatening.
Yeah, I'm a dude. Stand back. But that's a lot of what Southwestern taught is the little things that causes a person that doesn't give a shit about you to listen because they got stuff on the stove and their kid's crying and stuff tonight. Plus their whatever is going right. How to actually listen to you, which think about everything that we do. How many times do you do that every single day? How do I get this person to actually be engaged with me? Because I can't help them if they're thinking about a million other things.
You make it about what they want and need.
100%. That's what I saw that was different about this internship was that they were teaching me how to connect with, teach me how to connect with humans, not how to just pitch product and build a downline of stuff, which, you know, it's fine or whatever, but it was all about just go out and be successful. So that kicked the shit out of me. That's
I can appreciate that.
Yeah. So you knocked on a ton of doors, huh?
Ton of doors. About 3,000 doors each summer. So
you probably got in good shape too, walking around. Around yeah. Prepare you for
what's the weather like in Vermont.
I tell you what, it was strange during the summer. I looked forward to that. You leave in St. Louis. Fuck yeah, man. Oh God. It's so swell. You know, right. I'm wearing a hoodie in the mornings.
Really?
Right.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
It was nice. It was really interesting going out there that summer. You knock on doors from 7:59 in the morning to 9:01, like Monday through Saturday. This is what you do. We're not drinking. We're not partying. We're not doing anything else. This is all. And even on Sundays, we all get together and like have a meeting. Right.
Yeah.
So this is all you do for 12 weeks during the summer. It is that. And so obviously you learn an insane amount about yourself and people and shit. We had to find a place to live. That's what we did for the first 5 days that we were there, knocking on doors, going to church with different people, like looking for a host family. Yeah, so that's it's kind of a wild thing that.
How old were you again at this point?
I was 22, and I'm old. Most, I'd say, a good 2/3 of our first year students that do this are 18. They're freshmen,
and they're still put in a position to where like having to find like a host family. I think that's awesome because like you don't really get to sit here and rest on your laurels or have your parents come through and help you. Like you are left to your own devices, and it's very much like, hey. This is your crash course in life because a lot of people think college just doesn't end.
Right.
I was one of those people. And then when it ended, I'm like, I start paying this back.
Right. Yes.
But when you're left your own devices like that, you have to be creative and you actually have to be a good salesman.
Mm-hmm.
Shit. More kids need to be doing that like directly out of college.
Oh, yeah.
One of the biggest things that taught me, there's five big pillars with Southwestern. Work hard. Be a great student. This one was be really coachable. Southwestern had all these systems like say this, do this. And if you do this and you work hard at it, the success has been proven for 160 years. My first summer, I was like, yeah, I learned really that I wasn't as coachable. I was coachable about stuff that I knew would work. I wasn't coachable on little things that were uncomfortable for me.
Mm.
Stuff about self-talk, stuff about morning routines. That's where I learned that shit, Patty.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah. Stuff about just playing with negative stuff and humor and sarcasm and how little that can help you throughout your day. I'm always going to be fine. I didn't have to learn how to connect with people and do a lot of that stuff. But what I did learn was the difference. Cause at the end of my first summer, we all come home, we go back to Nashville, we settle up all of our accounts. And I did a little bit above average, which my effort, now I know this, for anything that's not fun is that's probably accurate for most things in my life at the time. A little bit above average, but like with sports or whatever it is, yeah, I'm gonna put in some effort for that because it's fun,
sure,
right? Yeah. Organizing thing, yeah. Anyway, and then I saw these 18, 19, 20 year old, 21 year olds, which if you line them up, you would not visually say you guys are studs at business stuff. Mm-hmm. These 18, 19, 20 year olds, their first summer with me, were making 12, 15, 20, 25, 28, 30 grand in 12 weeks during the summer, and I made 7. I got kicked in the, and that was the world showing me, probably for the first time, this is what it takes to be successful. Not all that other shit that you've been fed. I don't want to beat up schools and all the stuff, but
no, go ahead.
No, let's do it. No, beat it up. I mean, we're reading Think and Grow Rich that beats up on schools.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is not about sitting in your chair and being a good boy. You know, so much of this is I went through 3 or 4 cars that summer. Right. Yeah. I'd go up there with my car and I wrecked that car because I'm not paying attention in the morning. And I slide into a ditch and I fucking break the axle or whatever it is. So now it is up to me to walk for a few days to earn money to go buy a car from some guy selling a car in the town that I'm living in, which is what adults have to do anyway. Right.
Right.
You bust your car and you need it for work. You got to go figure something out. Right.
Right.
And then I drive that car for a while and then I drive like an asshole. Right. I definitely did when I was 22 and on the dirt roads of Bennington, Vermont. It was a lot of fun, but it was, yeah. And I just went through a lot of cars. My last car caught on fire. Serious. I'm going to deliver these books and can flames coming out of my hood. So I finished up delivering in a U-Haul truck and I left that car on fire on the side of the road. Anyway,
that's going to be a reel, just so you know.
Yes.
I'm kidding.
The Cherokee didn't make it.
Damn.
Yeah. But this is the stuff that I don't want to say it's normal for a lot of students that did this. Like, yeah, we learned a lot of business stuff, but man, the shit that you go through in a day to day when you are the only one responsible for you, that is the stuff that everybody learns in spades during their summer selling books with Southwestern. It's so much less about, yeah, they do learn how to sell and ask questions and close. That was my first summer. So after all that stuff that I went through and I did a little bit above average, I hit the incentive trip by, like, you know, the skin of my teeth.
So this was your senior year going,
this
into
was my
your,
senior
going
year,
into
going
your,
into my super senior year.
Super senior,
right. Yeah. So I knew I had one more summer. And if I could do that, and I dicked around half the time, and I wasn't as coachable, and I worked hard, but I didn't, like they say, see 30 families every day. I probably saw like 22, right? And that, I see slight edge, right?
Yeah.
The difference between 30 and 33 and 30 and 27 is massive because it compounds, right? And so I'm like, okay, if I can go just do the job the right way, and not go through 4 cars, I'll probably make more money. A lot of great things came. Like, I got my first guitar and rig during that summer. That's what I spent my check on. And my next summer I doubled, and my next summer after that I doubled again. And I put how big of a lesson do we want all of our kids to put your confidence in your, don't put your confidence in your talent, because shit, all of us have found out that runs out.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
Very little of it.
I'm not talented at anything.
Right. Yeah. Well, and if you think you're talented, go be around people that are real. Like, I play hockey on Tuesday mornings with this group of, and there are some ex pros. There was this one skate where I think we counted 32 years of NHL experience, 6 Stanley Cup rings, national champions, Olympic gold medal. Right. And there's some pros and then there's some Joes.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you see the, oh, I thought I was good at this. I thought I was good at this for my, no, I am.
Yeah.
I am a wretched rag.
I'm reminded of that regularly.
I suck. Yes. Right. When you think you're all powerful, try to stop the wind. Right.
Right.
Wherever that's from. Think the Bible. Right?
Yeah. Is it?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. I'll take your word for it.
There we go. Yeah. Thanks, Mike Basie. Taught me that. Anyway, that's what a lot of the lessons that I learned from, you know, we're talking about Southwestern, how I got into this. At the end of my second summer, I was done and I shadowed the recruiting and the interviewing part. That's where I fell in love with really what I do now. I love recruiting. I love interviewing people to help them go for what they want. I actually heard, I was listening to The Obstacle is the Way this morning, and the quote that popped up, Francis Bacon said, "Nature, in order to be commanded, must be obeyed." And what I have found that natural laws always persist over time, right? And the thing that Southwestern taught me as a leader at a young age is show, well, it's all the stuff that are in these books, Carnegie, we talked about Carnegie, right? Mm-hmm. Help people get what they want. Life is good, right? Mm-hmm. You're ultimately going to get what you want. And that's what this company really did is we're going to build the individuals. They're going to build a great business, right? So, I holistically and fully believed in that, and I could throw my efforts at that. And I really did. I love that part of the job of mentoring human and, correcting. That's the displeasure that I had with schools. Right. And all the stuff that they told me was going to help me be successful. Mm-hmm. I got to on a weekly basis, meet with 50 college students and attempt to put a dent into the bullshit shell that was around them of what they thought. Oh, I need to go to summer school because I need to graduate quick. I need to. Right. Exactly. Brother, if you don't put some stuff on your resume, no one's going to give a shit.
Right.
And it's not about your resume. It's about what you've done that you can talk about and prove your worth, because these companies don't give a shit.
The fact that you got a B+ in whatever class.
They will never see that you got a B+.
Right. They don't care.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what experience, what have you done that is notable that's going to apply to this job? You know, how is your prior experience before this going to suit you here?
And that's the thing too, is once you get in there, they're just going to train you to do it the way they want you to do it.
Yes.
So
they don't give a shit what you've done.
No.
Yeah.
They want to know, like you said, they want to know that you're coachable.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I like athletes when I'm recruiting for my team, you know, athletes, especially if you've made it to a high level, you're coachable.
Right.
So yeah.
Doing things that aren't pleasurable now. Delayed gratification.
Yeah.
You can't get to a high level of anything without fully embracing delayed gratification. There we go. Without fully embracing delayed gratification. Add that to the massive list of things that I learned my first summer selling the Southwestern.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But that's why I fell in love with the recruiting piece. And from then on, my third year through ninth year, I sold and recruited. So it was a year-long thing then. And then my last 3 years with the company, I was a district manager off the field. I worked with kids at Mizzou and Northern Iowa and Wisconsin, and Missouri State, UCM. Yeah.
Got three Missouri State guys.
Yeah.
How's it feel to go to the second best school in Missouri?
You know, it's interesting, Patrick. Oh,
yeah.
So, anyway.
We can all be winners.
Yes.
Yeah.
We can all be winners.
We're all from Missouri.
Yes.
Yeah.
There we go. Missouri. Best state in the union.
Yes.
All right. Best state in the Midwest. I think that's
fair.
Undeniable. Like, well, what's better than Missouri?
Not Kansas.
No,
it's not.
Certainly isn't Kansas.
The best thing about Kansas.
There's a lot of lovely people in Kansas, but there is a section of it between Kansas City and Wichita that is.
It's called Lawrence.
Jayhawk.
Yeah,
yeah. It's a weird thing. No, yeah. there's some lovely, lovely, lovely people, in Kansas, Nebraska, Iowa that I had never been exposed to, and through again not to. Hit it on the head again. Southwestern. I met a lot of there was all these kids from Nebraska, Iowa, Kansas that what they would do during their summers before they came and sold books would detassel corn. It was like the thing that you did when you live in these small towns because everybody has to do it, right? Mm-hmm. And those kids would go out and slay it. They would 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 grand as a freshman of, right? And it's because they had work ethic and it delayed gratification all day. Cause if you can't detassel corn, if you're just trying to have fun,
right.
You can't learn how to have fun doing it. Right. Anyway, that's an anecdotal thing. So Kansas people are great.
Yeah.
Jayhawks.
My roommate was from Topeka, top city.
There we go.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Went up there and met a lot of people, and I don't think every single one of them were great people.
Mm-hmm. So, yes.
That's all I know really about Kansas. I haven't really ventured too far outside of that other than the.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. I haven't spent a lot of time I mean, I haven't spent a lot of time west. I mean, I've been to Colorado a handful of times. I've been to Utah a couple of times.
Did you fly to Colorado or did you drive your vehicle?
I've done both.
And you've driven through
Kansas. Yeah, great state of Kansas. That's
very
you don't see much.
Boring drive.
I'm very familiar with Highway 70.
Yeah, 70 the whole way, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Bro, it's so flat. But I won't lie, though. It is kind of one of those things I do love about the Midwest, especially the more rural areas. Like when you're driving through Highway 70, yes, Kansas is flat and it's very boring. But it's kind of cool that it's just so open and there's so few people there.
You can see your destination 12 hours before.
I wish I could see my destination 12 hours before. But I've kind of like tinkered the idea of like maybe like, I don't know, when I have some extra fuck you money, buying a house in Kansas that I just escaped to.
Buy a farm?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Big ass farm.
A ranch?
Yeah,
a ranch.
If you will.
Yes. If you will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Actually, I probably want to go to a state where I can grow. Sorry about that. Sorry, Kansas.
So you might be able to in
Missouri.
Missouri.
There's plenty, yeah, you get
plenty of farmland here.
I think we're about 12 Illinois. Minutes away from that being legal, but who knows?
Right. We'll see.
So
I bought a place down in Potosi.
Really?
In 23, at the beginning of 23, yeah, now I have like chainsaws and shit. I'm like the city kid learning about like side by sides and chainsaws, and we got to fix our well. And
every
yeah,
night you can you set know. Off fireworks and you can be 100%. Sure they're actually fireworks.
Yeah.
How much land did you buy down there?
We got 40 acres
Sweet.
In Potosi, and it's got a little
cabin on it.
Well, a cabin and a house, has an in-ground pool. Like it's a very humble home.
Okay.
And yet it does have an in-ground pool or indoor. It's indoors. Hmm. I was with my kids on Sunday and swimming, and you know, we look out the window and there's 13 deer. I'm not kidding, 30 yards from the house.
Yeah,
like, oh shit, kids. Look. Yeah, I probably did say that.
Yeah,
and like, oh, dad, like,
you got to be real. Parents cuss.
Yeah, exactly. We got a bunch of turkey on the right, and we found an eagle's nest on really? The drive up to the thing like a couple weeks ago. Eagles mate for life.
And have you guys gotten to explore all the property yet, or is there still some?
There's about a third of it that we don't have a side by side yet. We don't have a gator. That's on the trying to convince my wife to spend that money. She's like, we're not there yet. There's about a third of it that is a little bit thicker brush, but the rest of it, the previous owner maintained it really, really well. We've got a 300-yard par. On it.
That's so awesome.
No green, but like set up a few boxes and yeah, it's beautiful. And, acre and a half lake. I have to kill a turtle because the turtle's eating or has eaten all of the fish.
Was it one of those alligator snapping turtles?
Oh, it's got, I'm not kidding. It's got spikes on it.
So really?
It's huge. I saw it the first one. Like, oh, like my fist. I'm not kidding. That is the neck on.
Bro.
Yes, looks like Bebop or Rocksteady, whatever.
Bebop.
Bowser from
Bowser.
That's a good name for him.
Yeah, exactly. We got to go kill Bowser and save the princess. Save all
kids. Luigi, let's go.
Here we go.
I didn't know you could do that.
I got a good Mario.
Why don't you be a Mario for Halloween this year?
I could do that. Well, I have been Mario for Halloween before.
All right, well, let's dye all your shit black.
Yeah, that's what we did. Me and my buddy were in college. He was tall, I was short. I had the mustache. We both grew mustaches. Bought overalls from Goodwill and
white gloves.
White gloves.
Yeah.
And I mean, we did it as like janky as you could. I had like a.
I expect nothing. You know,
we all broke our hands on punching brick walls.
Yeah, right? Just had these. Yeah, it was a good costume back in the day. It was when I lived in Stowers.
Shout out Springfield.
Shout out to Springfield. Yeah. So you did the sales.
Yes, buy property. It's lovely.
I appreciate it. Buy a ranch.
Yes. Buy a ranch.
Yeah. No, that's great. So you did the sales part. So you said you did sales for the sales and coaching for years 3 through 9.
Yeah, selling and leading and just so much of when I looked at the coaching business, which is so Southwestern, I don't know, I think we are 20 different companies now in the corporate part of Southwestern. And so now when I got up into the business and had some seasoning, I realized that, oh, all these other companies hire the best kids out of this seed. That's really what the internship has evolved into after 160 years. We have all these other companies that hire people directly out of it. And even one of them is a headhunting firm. that they place people in all these other different companies. So, you know, and they're all sales companies, right? Yeah. Insurance, financial planning, and da da da. And some of them have been, you know, the Great American was the biggest fundraising company for public schools on the planet. Tom James is the biggest custom clothing company on the planet. We started a financial planning company with Raymond James, and it, in about 5 years, it became their biggest branch in the world. Right. And that's what we kept seeing in all of these different sister companies in Southwestern, that they would become the best and not have because of abundance of people, but because these kids knew how to sell, and they'd come in and they wouldn't like you, like, we're going to train you how to do the right thing that we do, but they had the work ethic. They had the skill set. They had the work ethic. They had the mentality. They had the coachability. They had the, I'm going to figure this the F out. Mm-hmm. Right. And they just slay in like every industry that they go to. So the one that I looked into, it was started by some of our, record breakers for selling during the summer. Like this one guy made $100,000, like as a junior in college, slanging books during the summer. Right.
Yeah, he made $100,000
in a summer. Right?
Was that Dave?
No, that Dave got beat. Dave made like a 98.
Oh
yeah. It was Dustin. Some of these guys, they're like, why don't we take all one company that we didn't have was a development company, like consulting training company. That's what they went out to set. So let's take all these principles and let's take them out to the world, insurance and mortgage companies and real estate, all the different stuff. Right. And they started doing seminars and, you know, sell tickets, and we do the big seminars that everybody comes to. And we did that for 2006 ish to about 2012, 13. And then, started getting traction with selling coaching. People are like, this is great, but what now? Right. And our company was like the consulting part of the company. We were just above profitability. It's expensive to run events. Right. Mm-hmm. So we started, doing coachability. Number one, the margins are lovely.
Sure.
Right. You don't have to travel nearly as, like, they were literally moving months. Right. So they started doing that in 2012, and they had 5 coaches. And then in 15, when I came on, when I shadowed this, I was like, okay, so a coaching session is so much like a one-on-one that we have, that I've been doing since I'm 24 years old. I've been doing this for 10 years with all of my people on a regular basis. If you're a sales leader, have one-on-ones with your people for them on a regular basis, every week or two or three, please, 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 please do that. So I saw that. I'm like, okay, should I do that every week with my people anyway? And I enjoy that part of my job. And then the way we sell is doing workshops. And I'd run, I don't know, a trillion group interviews over my time with South. I was like, okay, I can do that too. And I never met a microphone I didn't like. So comfortable.
Yeah.
And so I saw those different pieces of it. And I give a shit about impacting humans. Like it gets my rock. I think it was my 5th year with Southwestern. There was a student that I worked with. He was on a bicycle all summer. He's a St. Charles kid, and his name's James Manaska. At the end of the summer, I gave this kid a $16,000 check, and he's a little 18-year, he's a wrestler.
I love
right?
it.
Whenever we'd mess around, he's always grabbing wrists. Like, yeah. First thing he went to, right?
Yeah, of course.
That's how you know you're a wrestler. Yep. And he's like, this is more money than my dad made last year. And, you know, he grew up with his dad and still living with his grandpa. It was, that's where I got hooked into, this is what I'm supposed to do. That's when I fell in love with the leadership aspect of it, of this business. And I get to do that every day now, which is great. So I enjoy what I do. Yeah. if it doesn't show at all.
Oh, it definitely does.
And I think that's important as a coach. Like, I interview a lot of people. So now I do so much interviewing, and I have 20 coaches in my organization now.
Okay.
One of them is I recruited him that same year as James, Will, Metcher. He's a coach. He's actually a partner with us also, but, I interview so many people now that they're looking for, Like coaching sounds easy. Coaching's easy if you're a, if you have a depth of knowledge and experience, right? And you have to give a shit. Right. Because if all you're doing it for is a paycheck and you think, oh, I could work from home and it's freedom, probably why a lot of people fail in real estate and fail in mortgage and fail in every other industry is that sounds fun.
There's nothing fun about this shit.
I mean, it can be fun. Yeah, it can be rewarding. It can be fun.
It's absolutely rewarding. There's nothing better than sitting at a closing table with somebody that didn't think they could buy a house.
Yes.
That you helped them buy a house. It's 100%. The greatest thing.
But Pat, what's, everyone who
what's
thinks,
your purpose?
Well, now it's for my boys.
Okay.
Yeah.
There we go.
But yeah, teaching my boys what hard work, determination, and the, you know, never giving up attitude what looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And why do you choose to sell mortgages?
Because I'm good at it. No, because I do enjoy helping people build wealth and furthering their lives on the wealth side of things. And I mean, like I said, I enjoy helping people.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. I enjoy helping people, whether it's through, you know, like I enjoy coaching. That's why I coach baseball.
Yep.
I enjoy this is because one, I kind of get to coach people through how to get a house and getting them to the table and helping them get to the table is awesome.
Do you help people realize the dream of homeownership?
Help people realize the dream of homeownership.
There we go, Patrick.
Yeah.
There it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've worked on that for a while.
It's been so long since I've done that because it's changed because of the boys.
Yeah.
So
vision, your purpose evolves, right?
Yeah. Always changing.
Yeah.
So bring
it's probably same thing with you, right?
It's very, like very similar.
If you're not trying to help people, if you're trying to earn dollars by pushing buttons on this, everything gets fucking old and tired.
Yeah, it's your why.
That's your why.
That's the one thing that I think that was the first thing you and I sat down and worked on is what is your, or you asked me is what is your why?
Hmm? Yeah. If your why is money in this industry, you're not going to get very far.
No.
Because people are going to smell it a mile away.
Oh, know? Yes.
Like, I don't even call it, like, so in our business, we call you have units and volumes. Units are the amount of homes that you've closed or loans that you've closed, and volume is the total dollar amount. I don't ever call it that. It's families helped.
Families helped. Mm-hmm.
Families helped. Not units, families helped. Because it makes it personal. Like anybody can call it a unit and that's like, oh, what are you, just another number? No, you are a family that I helped grow their wealth and recognize the dream of homeownership.
We don't sell coaching, we change lives.
Yeah.
And you guys probably have a thing with Keller as well.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. Still new there. I don't know what that is.
So when we think about how long you've been coaching and now you are helping a lot of people get results, which is amazing. I've worked in sales coaching before with First Form. It's where I've met a lot of people who are my clients today. It's because of the relationship you build with them. But also being such a big student of Andy, there is no shortage of the fake coaches out there.
Yeah.
And the big thing I always want to challenge these people with, like, okay, you apparently know how to get people results, but you don't really have a track record of it. Let me see your profit and loss and let me see your tax return because that really tells the story. But if we were to give those people a piece of advice to maybe change their ways, what would be the number one piece of advice you would have to give?
For the coach,
maybe the academic coach,
the person who is more or less just marketing themselves as a coach, but they really don't have the results.
Gotcha. What can you do? Hard shit. I mean, if you look at what does Andy talk about, what does Ben Newman, like, all of them talk about do hard shit.
Yeah.
Do hard shit, do hard shit, do hard shit. But that's not sexy and that's not fun. Why do the 75 hard? Why do that? Because it's hard.
Yeah.
Because it makes you better.
Yeah.
And anybody who you're coaching, was money growing on trees in 2001 in real estate and mortgage?
2001 or 2021?
2021, I'm sorry. Yes.
Absolutely.
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 It was just more there, shooting like, where fish do I in a barrel, right? Just which fish do I want?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now is the landscape different?
Oh, absolutely.
That's what separates a coach. It is, you can quote unquote coach people to teach people stuff. I learned this in my second year in this business. A great coach. Yeah, you'll learn some stuff. I kind of made up a Yogi Berra-ism. Coaching is 90% accountability, 30% teaching stuff, right? They're most salespeople, most business people, and I'd love to hear y'all's feedback on this. They have so many things that they already know to do that they're not.
avoidance.
Oh, absolutely.
Sure. Could you teach a couple different things? Did you know that you needed to know why you were doing this stuff when we were working on your why?
No.
Come on, Patrick.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. But sometimes that stuff is like the last thing on the list because I got a whole laundry list of other shit that I'm
right.
just getting sucked into. So the thing that I would say to like, if you're going to be a great coach, what do you lean on? And you got to go do some hard shit, right? Can you go back in time? And you cannot, but today you can do hard shit. And that's the stuff, man, that I've, cause I pay attention to these different coaches that market themselves. And if you get up and you teach things, there are people that are going to go, that's a good idea. Can't wait to do that on my own. I don't need you. Or there are going to be people that go, I don't sell like that. I also don't need you. You're only going to be able to market yourself to people that are like, oh, that's really good. Could you teach me more stuff like that? Which is that a dangerous spot to be in if you're a coach? You better deliver me shit that I've never heard of and I agree with and I still need you for.
It has to make sense.
Oh, man.
And that's a subjective thing. Like, okay, there are objective results.
Yes.
But the number one thing I learned being a coach is that not everyone is influenced by the same thing. Not everyone is inspired by the same thing. And if you don't have a particular attention to the person that's in front of you and you really know what they care about and why, mm-hmm. you have to be able to illustrate to them like, well, okay, if you follow my advice that I'm credible in and I can relate to what you want and need, you'll get what you want. But if you don't, here are the other consequences. If you don't know what that person really wants or needs, you're probably just talking out your ass. Bingo. You're probably giving them a sales script and that's why you're going to fucking fail.
Yeah. Yeah. You Love will be Andy. Exposed. You will be exposed at minimum. Right? Oh. Yes.
No worse. I don't think there's a worse phrase in the English language than being exposed.
There was a 2-day period. This was a turning point in my coaching career. I went and did a workshop for a Ruoff mortgage group out of Indiana. It was the fucking Cubs won the World Series that night. I remember. Yes. And I will expedite all the story here, but I'm a high I on the disc. I definitely suffer from, I want people to like me. Right.
Sure.
And so in my coaching and I'm on stage and I've never met a microphone I didn't like, I'm very entertaining and I tell jokes. And people are entertained. And the leader showed up late. The leader didn't get the financial support that they wanted. The leader didn't, they're not going to get into coaching now. And the leader got, instead of 12 people there, they got 4 people and 3 of them were half retired. Right. And it was the first time that none of that shit was her fault. My fucking fault. Is that okay to say that word?
Yeah, absolutely. Fuck
yeah. Say it all the time.
That was my fucking fault for using kind ofs, maybes, and you might should like a good. Andy does not split hairs with his words.
No.
Mr. Frisella, you know exactly what he's thinking when he says the words that come out of his mouth.
Oh, he's told me directly exactly what he was thinking.
100%. It's all he knows, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So I drove home that day just thinking like my leader had been telling me this stuff for such a long time. Like, Anthony, you use weak language because you're still worried about what they think about you. And as my second year as a coach, the next day I did a workshop with Mr. Jeff Fitzer and Sean Curley. Yeah, I understand.
Just kidding.
About 10 minutes into the workshop, I'm asking people like a softball question. Hey guys, before we get started, we talk about how to hit your goals. What are some of your goals? And it's just crickets, people on the fucking phone, sending emails. And I'm with them for 45 minutes. I'm with them for an hour. Mm-hmm. I black out the screen. I wasn't ugly with this, but I did chirp.
Guys, pay attention.
Well, not even like, hey, if you're here and you're not answering this question, all I did was ask you what your goals are. That tells me you don't have goals and you know you should. And it's freaking February. Or you have goals, but you don't remember what they are because you don't read them every day and that's not a part of, right? And that's pointless. Or, oh, those are my goals, Anthony. Share them in front of them. You know, right. I don't want. And that's crippling to you as well.
Right.
If you guys have better things to do, please respect everyone else. Go somewhere else. If you're going to be here, let's dig in. And I turned the clicker back on and I went on with my workshop, right? At lightning struck somewhere in my from God, because that at that point I'm not caring if they like me by saying that, right?
Right,
right.
I'd never signed up more than 2 or 3 people in any workshop, and I signed up 11 people that day. I'd never had people that were the top producers in the room come to me after and be like, "Man, you're right," and they're just handing in their order form, right? Most time people are like, "Man, you're really good at what you do. You really speak well," and then, but then they tell me why they can't get in the right.
Right.
That I'm not kidding. It doubled my income that year. And it was, and that was where I found the language that the Frisellas and all these others have, right? I'm here to speak the truth. And this is my self-talk before my workshops now. I'm here to say what the leaders are afraid to say. I'm here to say what these people need to hear. This is not about me. I don't care if anybody gets into coaching. They're going to hear some fucking truth today.
Good.
And holy shit, the best people in the room. I noticed that, like, the top producers, the leaders are always like looking around, shaking their head like, hey, Steve, pay attention. Steve's my fictional guy that's not doing what he's supposed to be doing.
Andy Sorry, always refers Steve. To Steve on the podcast.
Right, yeah.
I got to have a talk with Steve.
Steve and Brian. They're my, they're, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry,
gosh, darn Brian it, Steve.
Yeah.
Fucking Steve, man.
Yeah. So do the hard stuff, you know, and don't, you cannot be afraid of your client, right? In all of our businesses. Mm-hmm. Oh, I want them to like me so they don't leave. Oh, fuck. That is so
right.
That is so candy cane high school shit, right?
Don't be nice.
No. Crippling. I mean, you be good. Be good.
Be kind. Be good. Be friendly. Be yes. even with me. Be honest. But don't sit here and be a nice guy and kiss my ass.
It's not even nice. Language. That's inauthentic.
Absolutely.
Nice is being nice.
It's a facade.
Right? Is being kind, right? Yeah. If I'm going to lie to you, that's bullshit. If I'm going to not give you what you need because I'm worried about me, that's selfish. Mm-hmm. That's
it's narcissistic.
If yeah, and as I say, selfish. Like, well, I want to be nice. Like, it's selfish. It's being selfish, right?
Yeah.
Do any of us have extra time in our day where we have just? Oh yeah, I have an abundance of time to do all this extra shit that I wasn't getting to before.
I wish. No,
you have kids. You have kids. I have kids.
I am a kid.
You are a kid. we all have young kids. If we had an extra hour, it's probably catching up on sleep. Absolutely. Right?
Yeah.
Or getting to our laundry. So
figuring out how to be alone,
man. Yeah.
Zach, what time, on Monday morning did I send you those screenshots for the thumbnail?
Oh man, it was early. It was like 7 AM or it was like,
yeah.
You talk dude, about lack of time. Work. I was still awake.
Yeah. Right.
I hadn't gone to bed yet.
So many it's clients is like, you don't have time to be nice. You don't have time to put your fear of upsetting people first.
That's awesome.
For whatever that's worth, man.
That was great.
I learned that the day after the Cubs won the World Series. Thank you, Theo. What was his last name?
Epstein. Yeah.
Thank you, Theo Epstein, for teaching me the value of self-confidence.
You know, we've gone into the business side of things. You know, we talk about it in a bunch of different.
Do you want to talk about Southwestern Advantage anymore? Do you want to talk about selling books anymore? No.
We gotcha.
No,
we want to know more about Anthony.
Yeah.
The musician, the hockey player, the father, of the things. Let's start with father. You mentioned you have three kids.
Three human children.
Two boys, one girl.
Yep.
You always get the debate. What is easier, boys or girls? So, you know, I always hear that boys are easier than girls, and I'm just curious.
So that's interesting. What I'd always heard was girls are easier when they're younger, boys are easier when they're older, right? My two boys, as great as they are, I don't know that my house is not on fire right now, right?
Yeah.
My girl, since day one, looks at me like I've got a fucking cape and I can fly and I can do no wrong. She is massively easier than both of them. 100%.
She's just manipulating you now.
100%. Yes. Yeah. Yes. 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 I mean... Even to the point now, I'm catching myself like I won't chirp her when she's being a little, you know, challenging. Where sure. I would absolutely put that flaming knife down when the boys were 5 months old, six, whatever it is, because I keep flaming knives on the floor.
Right, that's a great place to put them.
The drawers were full, but I'm catching myself now that I have to correct her. You know, she's one; she can take it.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. Weren't we just talking about telling the truth?
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, that's awesome.
Definitely man. Girls. Well, I don't know. What do you think?
I've got two boys.
You got two boys.
Yeah.
I got a
boy and then my wife's pregnant. We don't know what it's going to be yet. So
surprise babies.
Yeah, surprise.
That's the only way we did it, man.
That's what we did with the first.
Yeah.
So we were like, it was really fun. We're going to do it again. So she's due in June. So
My wife lied to me after our second one. She knew the whole
time. She knew?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. She told the grandmas too, but I don't really give a shit. I just don't want to know. Yeah.
Right.
One of my clients said it's the best surprise. After you're 30, surprises aren't good.
Right.
Right. And I was a 40-year-old dad for the first time. So even more so. It's great surprises.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. I mean, because there's no, how many true surprises do you get?
Bingo.
Yeah. I mean, there's really very few.
Yeah.
You know, like this.
You might get a surprise birthday party here.
Sure.
You might get a gift you didn't expect. But most surprises are bad news from somebody.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. It's a great surprise, whether it's a boy or girl.
Yeah. 100%.
Both just finding out that she was pregnant were surprises. So,
yeah. You
know, that was good.
Yeah. That's a surprise right there.
Give me the sex. Let me know what they are.
Yeah.
I've already got my surprises out of the way.
Yeah.
I actually didn't make the appointment after our second baby.
Oh.
And then she said, well, we're going to have a third. So we almost didn't have, and man, I would not trade her for, woo.
Yeah.
Althea, let's go. Love it. But then I did make the appointment and it was quite easy.
That's what I hear.
Yes.
My dad always likes to tell a story when he had his, that like literally the next day he went out and coached our soccer and he kicked the ball, and when he did that, he like
ripped his nutsack open,
basically. And then I always hear the story of like that, just how it swole up and got really painful.
Oh boy!
So I'll make that note whenever I get mine. You know, and whenever we decide to do that,
the scrotal contusion.
I think that was the first thing I said after I found out she was pregnant. Instead of like, oh, that's awesome, I'm like, I'm getting a vasectomy. Yeah.
I just had him remove the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
It was, and no, I'm kidding. Yeah. I did not have my penis removed. I swear.
I was about to make a joke about gender, but you know, I'm just like,
I'll edit that little part out. Don't worry.
How come?
What do you mean, you people?
Right. Oh, we're recording this, right?
Yeah. Yes, also. Yes.
This goes in reels. This is on YouTube. Yep. All right. So father and then musician. Let's talk about that. How did you said did you buy your first guitar?
First gigging guitar.
Okay.
After my first summer, actually before I got home, like when I got back to the company, I like owed like $350. But I had my guitar and a nice little the amp had inputs for the microphone, and like I bought the cord, I bought the mic, I bought the guitar, I bought everything at this great guitar store, Bennington, Vermont. And it's a Dean Exotica. It's blue. It's beautiful. I still have it. I'll never get rid of it. And and then I started playing gigs in at bars in Columbia, you know, Harpo's and Johnny's Beanery and Big 12 and all the places that probably are not called that anymore.
Were you that guy that showed up to parties with his guitar? And
stuff? No, not parties. I don't show up to parties unless it's a gig.
Okay.
And then that's the show. But fuck, is that annoying or what?
Right?
Yes.
We had a guy on the baseball team that did that in college. And
Get him chicks or what?
No.
No,
not at all.
Like, that's the opposite.
Absolutely.
Really?
Oh, God, yeah. They'd be like, oh, my God, what a dork.
Yes. Yes.
But he's really nice, guys.
Exactly. Yes, lesson learned. Yeah.
You don't want to be the nice guy.
I do bring it with me when I travel. I got a nice little baby Taylor that I... my wife and I just went to Belize, and I only played it as our flight was delayed for 6 minutes. And that's still worth it.
Yeah.
It's still worth it to fill that 6 minutes for myself.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So some of the salespeople that I've worked with over the years, we've got this band we call, we're no soliciting, because we're all salespeople. Yeah. Right. And, started playing just little, because I'd play it always by myself, just acoustic guy, right? And then one of my guys plays bass, and another guy. Anyway, so now, we're playing Ballpark Village and
cool.
Yeah, like we're like, we play the biggest stages that a band, like a cover band, can play, right? Playing out at Cedar Lake Cellars, playing Innsbruck's 4th of July, like
Helen's Fitzgerald,
playing these big places. And you know, that's cool. Like after a Cardinals game on a Friday night, your job is to start playing when the last pitch goes off in the fireworks. That's when you guys start. And there's thousands of people just exiting on that outside stage.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that, that'll fucking fill your cup up.
Oh, sure.
What kind of covers are you doing?
Classic, like a lot of most of the music that we play is older than all of us.
Okay.
Right. Van Halen to, and I'm obviously old enough to write, but, Santana and Van Halen to Pearl Jam to Tom Petty to, you know, Pink Floyd. Our lead guitar player, she actually plays an Irish fiddle and she just rips. Like, she plays fucking Van Halen solos on her.
That's awesome.
Oh, she shreds it. And then our piano, they're sisters. She plays piano and then she recently got like the big Korg. And so now she's doing all the fucking synthy stuff. And those girls are talented.
When's the next show?
we don't know. It's booking season.
Okay.
So yes.
So in the process of working that out.
I
want to go.
Let's
do it.
No soliciting. Look us up on Facebook. Okay. Yes. There we go.
As a fellow guitarist, I have to ask, who's the GOAT?
I mean, it's Stevie Ray.
Really?
Yeah.
Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Yeah.
My fucking guy.
Yeah.
That's my favorite guitarist of all time.
He's
RIP.
And everybody else. Exactly. Like when Clapton and Jimmy Page, and when they say he's the best, he's the fucking best. And if you listen to it, he's the best. He's the
fucking best.
Now, can you take any away from
Hendrix,
anything away from Hendrix and how much ground he broke? Absolutely
that's
not
Stevie's
Jimmy
guy.
Page, but Stevie is even Albert King said, nobody can play Albert King. Stevie, you can play Albert King.
I've got their live album.
Right. Yeah. Oh fuck. It's so good.
Yeah. I literally have Voodoo Child tattooed on my left arm.
There we go.
I'm in.
Yes.
I love that.
He's the best.
It's just my dad my pops is my stepdad. And he's in his 80s now. And he said something. He was like, white people ain't got no soul, but Stevie Ray Vaughan, soul. Mm-hmm. My pops looks just like Clint Eastwood. So he heard him sit here and just kind of grind. I love it. I fucking love it. But that's something that I do really love about St. Louis specifically is that like we have a very in-depth blues background.
Fuck yeah.
You can go to Hammer Strong's, get some jazz into, but there's just something about blues music, man.
We respect a good pitching effort and we respect good blues music. Mm-hmm. 100%.
I like you.
Yeah.
You need to come back.
Yeah. What's been your favorite place that you've played?
Your
favorite show you've
done? Man. My favorite show, I got to play the Fox Theater at a buddy's wedding. Okay. That was just neat.
Yeah.
Sure. That was so fucking cool. I think it was the last wedding that that they did there. They stopped doing them. She worked there, so they got the, you know, and I could be wrong. Maybe they're doing them again now, but that's what she told me. That was really neat. And but playing, I'm a St. Louis guy, right? And fuck, we all got our Cardinals tattoos somewhere inside or outside of our bodies. And it is so Busch Stadium and going to the game is so romantic and it's majestic and it's beautiful. And who cares? Who even remembers if you win or lose that game? There's something about it that is etched into us from when we're kids. And to be able to be on that stage playing, you know, fuck, Pearl Jam is my favorite band, right? And thousands of people are coming out. It's the biggest crowds I've ever played for. That is, and I'm just looking around at like, and she's just ripping up some solo on her. And I'm like, this is the fucking best thing ever.
That whole area down there, they've redeveloped that, and that outdoor stage they have is
holy shit,
fucking great.
Well, what's great about that too is, you know, as a musician, and everybody's a musician knows this, half of you playing a show is you're set up and you're tear down and your car's full of bullshit. I can drive to that stage with a guitar and that's it, and plug in. They give you a sound guy.
Really, they give you everything.
And I live 6 minutes away.
Okay.
Whoa. So to show up for a fucking gig and before a sound check, 6 minutes, I should probably leave, I guess, with doop 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 doop.
Yep.
Done.
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome. Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So your favorite band is Pearl Jam.
Oh, yeah.
Greatest guitar of all time, Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Yep.
Is your favorite song by Pearl Jam Yellow Ledbetter by any chance?
Yeah. 100%. It has to be. Yeah. And that's what'll
it's
play.
Like you guys know each other
when yeah. I'm right.
Well, it's about Lenny by Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Right. Yeah. It's, and And the depth of the catalog of Pearl Jam, I'm super geek. I'm going to go see them three times this tour coming up this summer.
That's awesome.
And sick. And still Yellow Ledbetter. It's so beautiful.
It's all vowels.
It's all vowels, right? What did Seth MacFarlane, every 90s song, just all vowels.
And you're going to do any song in the 90s by using just vowels.
And going to a Pearl Jam show, if you've never been to one, is one of the greatest experiences.
Still heavy.
They crush. They fucking crush. And Mike McCready is up on my list.
Slick.
Stone Gossard. Man.
Absolutely underrated guitarists.
So, but every time they play Yellow Ledbetter, Eddie's changing the fucking words, partially because he's halfway into a red bottle of red, and partially because he's doesn't remember half the words half the time. And it's still great, but like, it's hard. That song, you can't sing along to it because he's modifying the words and you don't even really know what he's saying in the first place.
As long as you understand the melody, you're fine.
Right. Just for that one, you just kind of shut up and maybe sing the chorus.
As long as I hear the guitar parts.
Right. Oh, yes.
Well, awesome. I know we also talk about real estate investing on this, and we'll touch on this a little bit before we let you go, but you've got some Airbnbs.
Yeah.
And you bought the property down in Potosi.
Yep. We have our first renter of the year down there right now for spring break.
Nice.
Yes.
Cool. So are you Airbnb-ing or Airbnb the Potosi place out as
well? Yeah. This is only the third time we've done it. This will be our third summer, so maybe I got the year wrong. I think we bought it in May of 22. This will be only the third time Airbnb that place. I think we have three rentals so far but that's not what we bought that place for. We bought it for ourselves to get out. Well, during COVID, the only thing you could do for fun was rent a cabin in fucking Ironton. Right. Sure. Yeah. And so we did that like five or six times that summer with our young kids, a couple different couples. And like, I know what we paid for this and I know what mortgages are. Fucking look at what a place costs and had an indoor pool and a cave and a pond. I'm like,
dude,
yeah, that's awesome.
Yes. And sick. and
sign me up.
Yeah. Yes. And the wife said, go look at it. Cause she loves caves and she loves indoor pools and sunken living rooms.
Okay. And that house, it has it all.
Huh? It doesn't have a sunken living room, but it has the cave and indoor pool.
Is it going to get cold enough to play pond hockey down there?
Dude, 100%. Yes. Okay. Absolutely. Cool. Yes. It's so tough though with Benton Park Pond right across the street from us.
Yeah.
Like that is the easy, like I can walk with my bag. Doop, 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 doop. It's got lights. You can play at night.
Really?
The Benton Park Pond.
I haven't been over there.
Oh, and they have three little spots. And there's one of it. There's even like this foot and a half lip, concrete lip around the thing. You know, you normally think you go pond hockey, like you got the brush. If it goes in, this is like, you can play it off the fucking boards. No, it's great. Shit. You know, and lights at night, which is great. Yeah. And even if the ice does break a little bit, it's 2 feet deep. No big deal. Right. Yeah. So you can, you know, drive the Jeep over there, park it, pull out get the speakers, got the coolers, got all the shit. Right.
Cool.
That's the only reason that Benton Park's just so easy right there. Yes.
And so you got that place. What else? What are some of your other real estate investing stuff that you have going on?
A lot of them are South City. Man, St. Louis is such a great place for investing.
I know it is.
Man. Holy shit.
It's insane. Right?
Especially before COVID, you could buy a finished turnkey. We bought this place on Alabama. All of ours are state streets, right?
Love it.
We bought this place on Alabama for like 56 and didn't have to do a thing to it. Right. And that for my wife and I, that's our thing. Like we're not construction people. We bought one place that we had to do stuff to, and that is not our fucking skill set. Cause we're both full time, work from home, three kid. Yeah. There was one place though. I was just looking up, I think it was probably during COVID. Isn't a shitty situation the lifeblood of creation, right? During COVID, bored, looking for, man, wouldn't be a great to have pool, looking up Airbnbs. And I saw an air, like we just, I don't care if it's across the street, go rent it for the fucking weekend, go there and have a pool. There wasn't a place with an indoor pool with three bedrooms. There was two places in all of St. Louis, an hour east and west. And one was $750 a night and it was out like in Wentzville. And the other one was deep into the Illinois, right? And it was like $580 a night. That's a little more than we want to do. But anyway, I was like, there's nothing with indoor pool on fucking Airbnb in this city. So from that point on, I started I told my realtor, you find something in city limits, how many people would rent a place with a pool that is 10 minutes away from the ball game with how many people come, right?
Right.
Shit.
So it took about a year and a half to find a place, and we found a place in Holly Hills. That place slays, crushes, you know. Oh man, I'm $70,000 a summer from that place. Shit. I'm like $500 a night.
Dude, insane.
For a little fucking bungalow, like it has a finished basement.
So it has a pool.
And it has an in-ground pool in the back.
Okay.
Wow. Right? There were places that have above ground pools, right? Mm-hmm. There's just something different. I don't know, whatever it is. It has got an in-ground pool. It's got 4 bedrooms. It's on Gravoy. It's like 10 minutes from the fucking stadium. And it just, like, even this month, it's full. It's full in March.
That's crazy because we had one of our other guests, one of my good friends, Nick Baldwin.
Nick.
Yeah. You know Nick?
Go ahead.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Small world. Well, he did the same thing that he, mm-hmm. sounds like that you did. So, I mean, right around the same time. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know about his Airbnb with the in-ground pool and everything too?
Haven't heard about it, but.
Yeah, but he basically, right around the same time, it sounds like that you did. He did mm-hmm. the same exact thing and bought a house. They put an in-ground pool in. He actually took it one step further. He has got this like dome that they put over.
Oh yeah. The retractable.
Yeah.
Thing.
And so like he'll go over there whenever it's not rented in the wintertime and like, you know,
mm-hmm.
be over there swimming, and he's got this like bubble over the top of it. Super cool.
Well, that's the other thing too, is like, when do people leave their Airbnb on Sunday? Right.
Right.
Sunday at 10 a.m. Yep. 10:30, maybe 11.
Yeah.
And so we have a free place to take our kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? We have pool parties every Sunday.
Yeah, me
great.
And Nick are, you know, yeah. we're in our gym and we do jiu-jitsu together, and he, you know, he'll have guys.
And you guys go straight to the pool.
Yeah.
We'll in your draws, yeah. Just you two.
Yeah, just us. <It's laughs> No, but he'll have like, you know, gym parties and stuff over there on like, you know, Sunday afternoons. Now that makes sense. Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's awesome. And yeah, Nick's a great guy. Small
you need
world.
A DJ.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway. Yeah, it's sweet. Yeah, he's a good guy.
It slays, man. It did so well, and you know, I get a lot of people that ask me, like, I need to find my niche. I don't think you find a niche. Or I'm sorry, I need to create my niche. That's what they say.
Yeah.
I want to create. You don't create a niche. You dig and you dig, and then you find spaces that something should exist here and nothing does.
Mm-hmm.
And then you research. And then you look for solutions, and you might find one, right? Right. But, like, in both of your businesses, right, who can I... I'm gonna find my niche, and I'm gonna be this type of person. I'm gonna get this type of client. You don't know shit if you're gonna be good for that type of client. Right. Same thing with real estate, right?
Yeah, 100%.
I'm gonna sell to this type of person. First of all, don't pigeonhole yourself.
Yeah, I wanna sell $1 million homes, and that's it.
Oh, that's cute as a button.
Luck. That's adorable.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. There's 7 of them in St. Louis.
Right. I was gonna say, like, good luck.
You if know. You get all 7, that's a pretty right. good year.
That's a good year. Yeah. Yeah, but it's you know, I feel like a lot of people want to start out selling the, you know, the big boy homes, you know, and it's like, man, I'm 5 years into this, and you know, I've touched those high price points a little bit, but you know, my bread and butter is the 250s.
Well, what does everybody in business find their success in? Abundance of customers or volume of price tags?
Abundance of customers,
100%.
Sure. 100%.
Yes. Customers before price tag every single time. And but, you know,
because as my business progresses, those, you know, those people are gonna turn into those high price points if they're gonna continue owning real estate. So mm-hmm. it's just get in now and be their agent for life is kind of always my thought.
100%.
Absolutely.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Well, I think that's a good spot for us to leave it at, Anthony. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for joining us today. Anything you want to pitch before we let you go?
Let's see.
No soliciting.
Follow us, No Soliciting, on Facebook. You can find Anthony Merkel on Facebook, Instagram, and that's my Instagram handle, Anthony_Merkel. Most of my pictures, I look like I'm screaming at the camera, and my social media team likes it. So here's what I want to pitch. Go travel. Be a good fucking person. Do the hard thing. And look for situations in your life that will hold you accountable. If you think about every area in your life that you're great, every area in your life that you'd really take pride in, it's probably visible. We believe in joyful accountability, and it's simple. Accountability can just be a flashlight, something that people see. Man alive, does that, you cannot fake it. You cannot take shortcuts when people see it. Like, most of us humans step up when people see our shit. If you have something in your life that is you're not proud of, I bet no one sees it. And if you have something in your life that you want to be better, whether it's losing 5 pounds, whether it's stop putting things in your body, whether it's, I don't know, getting right with your faith or your wife or your kids or whatever it is, let other people see it. Engage in some accountability. That's the best thing a coach can do for you. Sure, if you want to talk to me about coaching or a workshop or whatever it is, great, reach out. I always tell people, I don't care who you coach with, get one.
Yeah. One last thing. Yeah. This is something new that we're starting.
Yeah.
The tombstone question. All right. Here lies Anthony Merkel. What do you have engraved on your tombstone?
He challenged people to be better and he loved them either way.
There we go.
Great, great place awesome. To end it.
Absolutely.
Thank you guys for watching the show. If you guys got anything out of it, tell a friend, share the show, hit that subscribe button if you haven't already, and hit that like button too. We will see you guys on Monday.
See ya.